meeting for.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I hope not. Okay, today's daf is daf Pei Gimel, and we're going to start on the bottom of Pei Beis on Beis, the last line. Today's daf is sponsored by Ben Fleischman. This is a new one, appreciation of being able to listen to the daf from the podcast. So thank you. Okay, we left off, we were talking about the story of when Yerushalayim was under siege and they were bringing up the carbon and tumid every day, and then they sent up the pig. And at that point we said that the cursed is the one who teaches his son Chochmas Yivanis, which was this unique language that they used to speak in the upper echelons of the Roman government. And so they said at that point that no one should teach their son that. So now the Gemara asks on the bottom line, Chochmas Yivanis mi Asira, is it in fact correct that it is usher to teach Chochmas Yivanis to your children? Well, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi says, Be'eretz Yisrael, Lashon Sorsi, Lama. In Eretz Yisrael, why do they use Lashon Sorsi? Lashon Sorsi is a form of Aramaic. Rashi says it's Lashon Nilaghu. It's like a skipping or a corrupted language. This is, in fact, the language that's used for Talmud Yerushalmi. Is written in Lashon Sorsi, because the Talmud Yerushalmi is written in a different form of Aramaic. So he says, why do you need this Lashon? O Lashon HaKodesh, O Lashon Yevanis. You should either speak in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, or in Greek. Bavel, Lashon Arami, Lama. Why in Bavel do they use Aramaic? O Lashon HaKodesh, O Lashon Farsi. They should either use Lashon HaKodesh, or they should use Persian. And Rashi explains that Eretz Yisrael, Smucha L'Yavan, Naka Yevani, that Eretz Yisrael is close to Greece, so they said they should speak Greek, and in Bavel, Hasamuch Lepras, which is close to Persia, Naka Lashon Parsi, it said they should take Lashon Parsi. But in any event, what you saw here is that Rebbe says one of the options is speak either Lashon HaKodesh, or speak Yevanis, Greek. So you see that it's not bad to teach your son Greek. So how could you say that it's someone is cursed if they teach their son Greek? So the Gemara says, Amri, they said, Lashon Yevani Lachud, Chochmas Yevanis Lachud. We're not talking about the Greek language. The Greek language is okay. It's Chochmas Yevanis that's a problem. So Chochmas Yevanis is this unique language that was used in that story, and that's what they assert. Now the Gemara asks, Chochmas Yevanis mi Asiri, is it in fact assert to have Chochmas Yevanis? V'hamar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, in the name of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Eini oilol nafshi mikobinos iri is a pasuk in Eicha. We just had it on Tisha B'Av, and Rashi explains the way to understand this pasuk is kolamar kacham Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, "Korani al atzmi, I call upon myself hamikra zed this pasuk. Why sheyesh alai laolol eini bebechi v'dima, that it should be upon me to wail and to cause my eyes to overflow with crying and with tears, mikol mishpacha sa'ir, more than any of the other families of the city." So Rav Shimon Gamliel says that this pasuk applies to him. Why? Because elef yeladim haya bebeis abba, that in his father's home there were 1,000 yeladim. Rashi says they were bachrim, they were young men. Chamesh meis mehem lamdu Torah, 500 of them used to learn Torah. Chamesh meis lamdu chachmas yivanis, that 5 of them used to learn chachmas yivanis. V'lanishtari mehem ela ani kan, that there's nothing left from them. I'm here. Uben achi abba ba'asya, and my the son of the brother of my father, in other words, his first cousin, is in Asya. He's saying so. Out of those 1,000 bachrim, it's just him and his cousin. Now this is talking about after the Bar Kokhba revolts, they killed everyone, and so there was only that left. But in any event, what do you see? You see that he says 500 of these 1,000 bachrim learned Torah, and 500 learned Chochmas Yevanis. So how could it be that it's a aror, that it's a curse, that someone learns Chochmas Yevanis? So the Gemara says, Amri Shani, based Rabbi Gamliel, Shai Krovim Lamachus. No, because even though they said that someone is cursed if they teach Chochmas Yevanis, that's only talking about regular people. But the house of Rabbi Gamliel, as we know, was the Nasi, and he used to have interactions with the Roman government, and so they said, for his purposes, you know, people in his household, it's okay to learn Chochmas Yevanis because they have to interact with the Roman government. Uchidasanya, we learned a similar brisa. It says, Hamasafer kumi, hareza medarki amori. That someone who cuts their hair in the fashion of kumi is from darki amori. Darki amori are things that are done, that were done by the pagan nations, and so it's not necessarily their worship that we're talking about, but their customs that they did as part of their pagan identity, we're not allowed to have, that it's asur min haTorah to do darki amori. Kumi was a form of haircut. Rashi says basically the idea was they used to shave the front, so Rashi understands that it goes right over the head like this. This part is shaved, or he brings another version that from the back they would shave everything forward and then just leave basically a ponytail. Sometimes you see this, the Gemara refers to it as blodras. So this is the same thing. So the idea was that to cut your hair in that way is darkei amori, because that's how the pagans used to do it. So, but the brisa continues. Avtumis baruvein et tirulo lasaper kumim neshu karvlamalkus. But Avtumis, the son of Ruvein, they let him cut his hair that way because he was karvlamalkus. And they explain that there's stories that the Romans thought that he was not Jewish, and he was able to avert various disasters for the Jewish people by being there with the Romans. And so they said that an exception for him, that he's allowed to have this style of hair, even though Jews generally are not. And then it continues, it says, and that the house of Rabbi Gamliel, they permitted them to speak in Chachmas Yivanis because they were Karav Lamachus, they were close to the kingdom, and therefore they would speak in this language used by that group. So in other words, the fact that it's cursed for teaching your son Chachmas Yivanis did not apply to the household of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, the Gemara continues with two dots. So Yigadol Adam es Akelav Elam Kein Kasher B'Shal Shalos. That you should not raise a dog unless it is tied with chains. And Matt, you're lucky the rabbi is not here. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Lo Yigadol Adam es Akelav Elam Kein Kasher B'Shal Shalos. That we learned that you can't raise a dog unless it's tied in chains. Av magado hu beir asmuchel asfar. There's an exception that if you're raising the dog in a city that's near the borderline with Eretz Yisrael, the kosher b'yom umatiro b'layla, and they would tie it up during the day, but at night they would let the dogs roam free because they were basically protecting the border. So that's an exception. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Agadol, Amir Rabbi Lazar Agadol says, Hamagado klovim kimagado chazirim. Someone who raises dogs is like someone who raises pigs. So the Gemara says, Lamai nafkimino, what's the difference between our Mishnah and Rabbi Lazar Agadol? Because our Mishnah also said you shouldn't do it unless it's chained. And so when Rabbi Lazar Agadol says that if your Magado klovim is like your Magado chazirim, is presumably talking about you leave it unchained. The Gemara says, Lamekim alai ba'aror. Because since he said that raising dogs is like raising pigs, and we know that raising pigs is cursed, as we learned yesterday, so therefore it's saying that someone who raises dogs is also cursed. And what does it mean to be cursed? It means that they would be in cherem. So it's a more, he takes it more seriously, whereas our Mishnah just understands that it's something you shouldn't do, and the Mefarshim say because le'sasam damim v'vesecha, that you shouldn't cause blood in your home, in order by basically raising a dangerous animal. Rav Yosef bar Manyumi said in the name of Rav Nachman, Bavel ki iras muchel asfar dami. He says Bavel is also like a city that is close to the border. Tirgama Nardai. It's a reference to Nardai. So the concept would be that Rashi says that. He says Vashmin Rav Nachman is telling us the Hoyo Vyesh Babel Yishav Kavua, that there's a established settlement there of Yisrael Harbe and many Jews, Mutter Lagada Klovim Biyaras Mukhalusfar, that you can raise a dog in a city that's close to the border, Kiilu Hime Eretz Yisrael, just as if it was in Eretz Yisrael. So he's saying Babel, just like Eretz Yisrael, is a very populated area with Jewish people, and therefore to the extent that you're protecting the border, you could have a dog that you keep chained during the day and you keep it unchained at night. Darish Reb Dustoy Demin Biri, Reb Dustoy from Biri said, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Uvenucho Yoimar Shuva Shem Rivavais Alpha Yisrael, that it said that when the Aaron would come to a rest, when the Yidden were traveling in the Midbar, that Moshe Rabbeinu used to say, Shuva Hashem, you should return Hashem, Rivavais Alfa Yisrael, to the Rivavais Alfa Yisrael. A Rivava, I think the English term for it is a myriad. It means 10,000 people. And Aleph is 1,000. So what do you see? You see Rivavos plural, so there's at least two Rivavos, so that's 20,000 people. Alfa Yisrael, the thousands of Yisrael, so thousands is again plural, so minimum two. So it's at Rivavos Alfa Yisrael, means at least 22,000 Jews. So the Gemara says, L'lamda chasha'en shechina shara Yisrael pachas m'shnei alafim m'shnei Rivavos, that the Shechina, when we're speaking about the Shechina that used to come down on the Mishkan, didn't come down unless they had 22,000 Jews there. So it says, so what would happen, let's say you had Chasar Achas, let's say you had only 21,999, V'haysa Isha Muberes Beineyem, and that there was a pregnant woman among them, V'ruya Lahashlim, and that in theory that child was enough to be Mashlim, to make it there be 22,000 Jews, and therefore the Shechina could rest. V'navach Bakala Akelev V'epila. And a dog barked at her when she was pregnant, and it caused her to miscarry. Nimtza Zeh Garim L'Shechina Shetestalek Mi'Yisrael. That this person who had a dog, essentially would have, if this scenario were to be, would cause that the Shechina would leave from Yisrael, because they would have caused this miscarriage. Hahi Itisa the Olos L'Meifa Bahahu Beisa, that this woman went up to bake bread in this house, and that's a concept we've encountered in the Gemara before, that people, women used to go sometimes into someone else's house to bake bread. Navach Bokalba, and the dog, which according to many of the Rishonim was an unchained dog, came and barked at her. Armela Mare, the owner said, which you often have with dog owners, they say, Lo tistafe mine, don't worry about this dog, don't be worried, he's not gonna harm you. He said, Shakule Nive, that his teeth have been taken out. Rashi has two pshatim. One seems that it's like his starter teeth. The other, Rashi says, is there are four teeth that are longer than others that dogs use to bite people with. So he said, don't worry, his sharp teeth have been taken out. Amrale, she said back to him, Shakile Tuvasacha Vishadia Chizri. Take your favor that you did for me by taking out these teeth and throw it on Chizri, Rashi says, is kotzim or thorns. Why? Why was she unimpressed with the fact that the owner told her, don't worry about the dog, he's not going to bite you? Because kvar nod vlad, because she had already, the fetus had already moved, meaning she had miscarried because she got scared of the dog. So you see that if someone has an unchained dog, that they could cause a miscarriage. Okay. The Gemara continues, end of the first wide line. Ein parsin nishbin leyonim. So back in our Mishnah, on Ayin Tes, we said that you should not spread a net for doves within 30 reis, of the city, which is 4 mil, about 8,000 amas. So the idea was that you should not put the net there, because you might catch in the net doves that belong to the people in that city. So don't put up nets close to the city. Now the Gemara asks, "Mi azli kuli hai? Do doves fly that far out that you have to worry that you're going to catch them?" Hatanan, we learned marchikim esashavach min ircha mishamama, that you should not put the houses they used to keep the doves in, you should not put them closer than 50 amas to the city. Why? Because they're going to eat the food in the city, you know, the fields that are there, they're going to come eat it. So what do you see? You see that doves fly 50 amas. Beyond that, they're not going to fly, because that's why you only need to distance yourself from the city where you put the birdhouse only needs to be 50 amas. So Amar Abaya says, no, meshet shaiti tuva. That, no, they can fly very far. And therefore, when we're talking about putting up nets, you have to be at least 30 reis away. So why does it say that you only have to put the birdhouse only 50 amas from the city? Karsayu b'chamishim ama mauyi. That because their stomachs get filled, in other words, there's enough food generally they can find within 50 amas of their birdhouse. And Rashi says, between the crops that are there or things that they peck in the ground, they're able to fill their stomachs, and so therefore, even though they could fly much further, they could fly 30 ris, but they're not going to take food beyond 50 amas. So the Gemara continues, Meshat, but they fly shloshim ris. I'm sorry. So it said that their stomachs are filled, and that's why that says. The Gemara says, Meshat shloshim ris v'sulo. All right, so now let me ask you a different question. You said that they'll eat 50 amas, but they'll fly 30 ris. So the Gemara says, is that all that they'll fly? V'atanya, we learned in a b'raisa, b'yishuv afilu me'amil lo yifras. That he says, if you're in a yishuv, then even 100 meal, you should not spread a net because you'll come to catch people's things. So you see that they can fly 100 meal. So why did we say only that 30 ris, which is 4 meal? Rav Yosef says, b'yishuv kramim, that we're talking about a case. It doesn't mean that in a settled part, meaning people, it means in a yishuv, in a community of vineyards, rabam or b'yishuv shovchim, in a community that has these shovchim. And so the basic idea is as follows, that if they're in a community of these birdhouses, meaning that as long as there's one every 4 meal, every 30 ris, they'll fly from birdhouse to birdhouse to birdhouse and go as far as 100 mil. So therefore, it's true that they can only fly 30 ris, they can only fly 4 mil at a time, but if there's a network of birdhouses, then they'll fly as far as 100 mil, and that's why you need to be careful not to set up your nets 100 mil, because we're worried that they'll go as far as that 100 mil. And the Gemara says, typically mishum shochen gufayu. Why were you worried about the birdhouses that were 100 mil away? Well, if you're saying the answer is the reason you have to worry about 100 mil away is because every 4 mil they would go into the bird, they would have stops that are birdhouses. So why don't you worry that you're going to catch those ones? Why were you worried about the ones 100 mil away? Why don't you worry about the ones every 4 mil? So the Gemara says, Ibayis Emaba, the Ovek Achavim, we're talking about a guy, but basically the Mefarshim say the reason a guy is not a problem is because, that you can put up a birdhouse near someone else's birdhouses, and if the birds choose to come over, they can come over. So it's like an Aveda of a guy. An Aveda of a guy, you don't need a return. It's not stealing from him. And in fact, Jews, the only reason we say not to do this, technically you can do it, because Darkei Shalom. But for Novi Kachavim, in other words, you could have that theoretically. So it's saying that maybe those every 4 mil were the Novi Kachavim, but it's the Jews' doves that are 100 mil away, so you have to worry about that. V'Bayseima, but the Hefker, maybe we're talking about where there are these birdhouses, but they don't belong to anyone. V'Bayseima, but the day, that, or you could say that it belongs to the guy himself. The same guy who's putting up the nets owns that entire network of birdhouses, but we need to make sure that we don't put up nets for the ones that have this network and could go as far as 100 mil from there. Hadron alach merubah. We finished the parak merubah. What is that? I did at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So we're talking. We're starting the parak hachovel. So hachovel b'chavero. The Mishnah at least we're going to be familiar with is concepts we've encountered before. That someone who damages his friend, chayav alav mishum chamisha dvarim, that he's chayav four, five, we know that there are five payments that someone needs to make, when he damages someone else. Benezek, nezek is the actual damage that we cause to someone, betzar, with the pain, beripoy, with his medical bills, besheves, with his unemployment, uboshes, and with his embarrassment, that someone who injures another person has to pay for all of these things. So now the Gemara says, Benezek Kate said, how do we assess damages? So simas eno, if a person blinded someone's eye, katas yado, or cut off his hand, shibers raglo, or he broke his foot, ro no soki ilu hu eved nimkar b'shuk, we look at him as if he's a eved who sold in the shuk, v'shamin kama haya yafe, v'kama hu yafe, and we evaluate how much he was worth and how much he's worth now. So basically we look at someone in the slave market, machlokas rishonim, about whether it is a Eved Ivri or an Eved Kenani, but the idea would be that we look at that the diminishment in his value as a result of this injury, and that is what we pay him for Nezek. Tsar, how do we assess pain? Because you've already paid him for the loss of his limb or whatever it is. So it says, Kavo b'shpud o b'mismar, that if you burn him with a shpud is a spit, like you put up a tent with, o b'mismar or a nail, meaning you bang them with a nail. So one is a burn, one is a bang. V'afilu atziparno, even if you did it on his fingernail, makom she'enosa chabura, so you're not actually creating any lasting injury, you're just hurting him. So omdem kama adam kiyotze b'zeh rotze lito lios mitztarakach. How much would a person be willing, on earth, if you went to someone and say, can I punch you for $100? You might say no. If you tell him $1 million, he'll say yes. So there's somewhere, there's a certain point that someone's willing to take the pain if you'll pay him. Rashi says, when it says, Adam Kiyotzib is a person like this, Rashi says, Lefi mashehu mu'unig rav tzarav ka'evo. The more mu'unag, the more sensitive or finicky he is, the more is his pain. So if someone's a real mama's boy, so then you're going to have to pay him more than someone who's a tough guy who could take it. Okay, ripoy, so the medical bills, hako chayev l'raposo, that someone hits someone, he has to heal him, so he has to pay for his doctor's bills. Ola bo tzmachim, if his wound causes to come up, tzmachim, a tzemach is like a growth, Rashi says, tzmachim are milant, and the laze Rashi says, pitzayim, so these are like blisters or something like that. So im machmas, so you have these blisters come up around the wound. Im machmas hamake chayev. If those blisters that came up because of the actual wound, then you're chayev. Shalom machmas hamake. But if it's not related to the wound, putter. And the Gemara is going to talk about why is that a chiddush. Chayes of anistra. He says, let's say it got better, the wound. Venistera, I think it means that it really was only covered up on the surface. It looked like it got better, but it really never healed. Then Chai said healed again, Venistera, and it got hit, covered over. Chai l'raposo, that you have to keep healing it. In other words, the idea is, till it's fully healed, you have to keep paying the medical bills. And again, we'll see why is that a chiddush. Chai sa kol tzarcho, let's say it got fully healed. Ein chayv l'raposo, that if it got fully healed, and then somehow something else came up in the same place, doesn't mean you have to pay. Why is that a chiddush? We'll see in the Mirtz Hashem in the Gemara. Okay, Shevas is unemployment. Ro'an also kilu hu shomer kishuin. We look at him as if he's a watcher of cucumbers. Shekvar nasin lo d'mei yado d'mei raglo. Because you've already given the value of his hand and his leg. What does this mean? So in other words, let's say you injured a guy, you hit him with an axe on the head, and you gave him like an involuntary lobotomy, and now he's limited, so he can only be like a lawyer or something. that was for Matt. No. All right, I'm allowed to make fun. So you had a guy, you caused him some kind of injury, and he can't do his work, so you have to pick the lowest level work he could do with his injury. Why? And the Mishnah is saying because you've already paid him in the Nezek, when we evaluate how much he was worth on the slave market versus on before and after, you've already assessed his lifetime of earning capability that's been reduced by the injury that you caused him. So therefore, at this point, when we're paying his unemployment, we're not paying his unemployment of what he was paid before. We're paying his unemployment of whatever limited capacity he has now, because the Nezek payment already covered all of the earnings potential that you've taken away from him. And now just the question is, because he's still injured, he can't work even at the level of work that he's able to do post-injury. So the Gemara is saying, a Shomer Kishuim, someone who watches cucumbers, and Rashi says, because you knocked out his eye, or Rashi says you cut off his hand or his foot, so he can't do certain things. But the idea basically is that Nezek covers the ongoing loss of income. Sheves covers during the time he's injured in his reduced state, whatever he's capable of doing, you have to pay him his unemployment during that time.
Nezek doesn't really cover that, though. Nezek is just the value of what he is in the market. So if you extend it over time,
if you have someone who's able to do very valuable work, right? So before he would have been valued to his master very high, yeah, because for the next 60 years he can do that work, and now he can't do that work anymore, so he's going to be worth that much less.
It still doesn't translate exactly. All right.
Okay. So that's Nezek, and then Sheves is paying the difference for the actual time he's out of work for the injury you caused him. Okay. Boshas Hakolofiam Avayish from Aspayish. We've had this before, that embarrassment. Everything is according to the one who does the embarrassing and the one who is embarrassed. And Rashi says that if according to the one who does the embarrassment, Adam Kal Shabiyish Boshto Marubo, that if a real lightweight guy embarrasses you, that you're more embarrassed that he was the one who did it as opposed to someone more important. And similarly, in terms of the one who is embarrassed, if you have a person who's a very important person, he's more embarrassed than someone who is less important and accustomed to some degree of embarrassment. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. That's the five things that someone is chayev for when they damage another person. Now the Gemara is going to go into a question here. Amai ayin tachas ayin. Okay, Amai, why is that so that you pay money for nezek? Ayin tachas ayin, Amar Rachmana. The pasuk says an eye for an eye, ema ayin mamish. So you should say that it means literally you knock out his eye. If one guy knocks out someone else's eye, he should get his own eye knocked out, and he doesn't get to pay money. So the Gemara says lo saga daitach. Don't think that the sanya, because we learned it in Braisa. Yachol, I might think sima es eno, that if he blinded someone's eye, mesame es eno, that we blind his eye. Kata es yado, if he cut off someone's hand, mekateya es yado, that we cut off his hand. Shiber es raglo, if he broke his foot, meshaber es raglo, we break his foot. So in other words, we might think that. Tamalomar, therefore it says, make adam umake behema. It says both make adam and make behema, someone who hits a behema. Ma make behema litashlumen. Af maka adam l'tashlumen. So just like, as we know, that if you cause damage to a behema, all you do is you pay. So the fact that it says maka adam and it says maka behema tells you that just like behema, they only pay money. Af maka adam l'tashlumen. That also, when you hit a person, we're only talking about making payment, but not actually knocking out his eye or cutting off his hand or cutting off his foot. Now the Braisa continues and says, V'yem nafshecha lomar, and if you want, you can also say as follows. Rashi says, V'yem nafshecha lomar, that V'yem yesh lecha lahashiv lahakshos klum al tamzeh, and if there's something to answer or to ask at all on this first reason we gave, which is the comparison of makah adam, makah behema, say lamad mi medrash acher, then you should go and learn from this other medrash. So what is the second way you can learn in case you have a problem with the first? Harehu omer, it says, Lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach ashehu rasha lomus. The pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Hey says you should not take kofer. Kofer, as we know, is a redemption payment. You should not take a redemption payment lenefesh rotzeach to the person who killed another person. Ashehu rasha lomus, that he is a rasha who is set to die. So it's in what case do you not take a redemption payment from someone? For someone who killed another person and therefore is chayav with his life, you cannot allow him to make payment. But you do take kofer, you do take redemption payment for the rashi evarim, are the tips or the heads of the limbs of a person, she'en chozer, that they don't grow back. So if you cut off someone's nose, that is one of the Rashi Evarim, and they don't go back. So what is it telling you? So it's telling you that when do you not take kofar by a murderer who needs to get killed, but by someone who just caused damage, then you would take kofar. So what do you see? You see that someone you caused damage to, it's enough to pay money. Now why does it talk about these Rashi Evarim, Shein Chozin, that these particular limbs, it's lavdak, it's not specifically only those, there's 24 Rashi Evarim, but it's not specifically those, it's any damage, and the Mefarshim explained that the reason it chose this is because since it's comparing it to death, so this is a death of those limbs, because you're causing it not to grow back, or else we'll see later Rashi, the Gemara learns it from the word nefesh rotzeach, that you kill the life of someone who's killed a life, so therefore they exclude these things that do not cause fatal damage, they just cause a handicap. But in any event, what do we see? We see two sources for the idea that you don't actually do an eye for an eye, but rather you're allowed to pay money. The first is because we say maka adam and maka behema, and the second is because we say that the pasuk says the only time you don't take kofar is for a murderer, but for a damager you would take kofar. So now the Gemara asks, and I think there are floating around some of these sheets. It might be helpful as you go through this Gemara to just be able to see which psukim we're talking about, because we're going to get and this we're dealing with the psukim here in Vayikra Chav Dalet, starting from pasuk Yud Zayin. These are the psukim of damages. So now the Gemara said the way we know, and if anyone doesn't have sheets, there's also some chumashim here on this table right here. What is that?
It's on the
website. Oh, and Maishi said he sent it out on the WhatsApp. So anyone who has it on WhatsApp, it's there also. Okay. So now the Gemara said, the way we know that you don't do an eye for an eye and instead you make a payment is because it says, Maka Adam and Maka Behema. So now the Gemara asks as follows, Hi Maka, which reference to Maka? Because you'll see there's a number of references to Maka in this passage. Ilema Maka Behema Yishalmeno Umaka Adam Yumas. The pasuk that says, so if you're following along, that's pasuk chaf aleph. It says umaka behema yishalmeno umaka adam yumas. So that pasuk actually says maka behema and says maka adam. So you would say maybe this is the pasuk that compares maka adam to maka behema. But the Gemara says no, because ahu b'ketalaksiv. That pasuk that's written umaka adam yumas is talking about murder. So we're trying to compare hitting a behema to which you pay a damage payment, and compare it to a person who pays a damage payment. That pasuk is not talking about a person who pays a damage payment. That pasuk is actually talking about, we learned in the Gemara in, I believe, Sanhedrin, tells us that this is talking about someone who hits his father, right? And so therefore he's chayav misa. And so we say maka adam yumas is actually a person who's put to death. So if we're trying to compare damages to damages, how could you learn it from that pasuk, from pasuk chafalav? So the Gemara says, elamei hacha, we'll learn it from here. Maka nefesh behema yishalmenu, nefesh tachas nefesh, which is pasuk yud ches, v'samachle, and close to it, it says v'ish ki yitein mum ba miso kasher asa ken yasalo. And a person who puts a mum in his friend, just like it's done to him, just like he did, so it should be done to him. So now the Gemara is saying, so that's where we learn maka and maka, because it says maka nefesh behema yishalmeno, and it says ish ki yitein mum ba miso. So the Gemara asks a very good question. You're telling me it's maka and maka, hai lav maka hu. The second pasuk doesn't say maka. So how can you say that the second pasuk that says ki yitein mum ba miso is the limud of maka and maka? It doesn't use the word maka. So the Gemara says, no. Haka haka kamrinon. That we don't need the word maka. We're talking about a hit. There's, in each case, there's a hit. Ma ka hamura behema litashlumen, just like the haka, which says maka nefesh behema yishalmeno, that's with payment. Af haka hamura ba'adam litashlumen. So too the haka that's written by a person is for payment. What is the haka written by a person? Because it says ki yitein mum ba miso. So the basic thing is that as long as things are dealing with the same rough idea, you could have this limud. Rashi says, where do we see this? It says, we've encountered before, a long time ago though, the idea of a shava coin or ba coin. That we make a gzer shava, that it's talking about when the coin comes to check the tzaras. It says a shava coin, the coin returns to the house, right? And then subsequently it says a ba coin, the coin comes to the house. And we learn gzer shava. So even though shav and ba are two different words, one means return and one means come, they're the same concept. It's the idea of the kohen going to the house. So therefore, you can make a gzer shava. So to here, it says, maka nefesh behema shalmeno. That's the maka by behema. And by injuring a person, it says, ki yite mum ba mi, so that if you put a mum in him, both of them are a hit. So therefore, and this is actually how we're going to conclude, although we're going to just spend a little more time making sure that we're going to conclude this way. But in other words, the idea is that you have maka behema yishalmeno and ki yitein mum ba miso tells you to compare damaging a behema, which is by payment, so too damaging a person is by payment. So the Gemara says, v'haksiv, but it's written, v'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam mos yumos, that the pasuk is written, this is Pasuk Yud Zayin. So if you look, it says, and if a person hits any person, he should die. Now Rashi points out, clearly, he's not talking about actual dying. Why? Because the way Rashi understands that if you read the ongoing psukim after Yud Zayin, it continues, and then it basically says, after it says Ishki Yakov Kol Nefesh Adam Mos Yumos, it says Makan Nefesh Behemish Hamen Nefesh Achas Nefesh Ishki Dimu Ma Misa Kasher Sakein Yosalo, and then it continues Shever Tachas Shever Ayin Tachas Ayin Shein Tachas Shein. So you see, it's not talking about murder; it's talking about damage. So what does it mean that when it says Ki Ishki Yakov Kol Nefesh Adam Mos Yumos? Rashi says it's talking about that you should make. We're going to see it means you should make monetary payment. And when it says death, it's because it's the death of that limb. So now, the Gemara says, so the question is, so what about this pasuk that seems to say the person gets killed? And if a person gets killed for causing damage of a limb, it would mean that his limb gets cut off. So the Gemara says, no, b'mamon, that we're talking about money. Just like we said before, that we're talking about money when it said ayin tachas ayin. So when it says ishki yaka kol nefesh adam mos yumos, is talking about money. So the Gemara says mimai debemamon. How do you know it's talking about money? Ema b'misa mamish. Maybe it's talking about misa mamish, which would mean ayin tachas ayin, that you actually cut off a person, you know, knock out a person's eye or cut off his finger, whatever it is. So the Gemara says lo saka daitov. You shouldn't think that it means that way. Chada, first of all, the ha iskish lemaka behemi yishameno. Because we just finished saying that there's a gzeir shava, maka nefesh behema yishameno, and kiyite mumbami. So it tells you that when it says that you should cause physical damage, it just means money. So why should this pasuk be any different when it says ishkiyaka kol nefesh adamos yumos, it means money. Va'od ksiv basrei, moreover, it's written afterwards, kasher yitein mumba adam ken yinasein bo. This is the pasuk of the pasuk chaf. So it's written that way. Now, what does that mean? Because we're going to see tomorrow, I think, Mitzvah Hashem, that there's a lima that when it says ken yinasein bo, is talking about giving money. So therefore, first of all, we have our gzeir shava from before maka maka. And second of all, it says ken yinasein bo, which is to give money, shema mina mamon. So we learn from here that it is mamon. So now we've left off, in fact, that the limud is from makam nefesh behemi shameno and ish kinyite mumba miso. That's where we know maka adam, maka behema, that just like by behema it's money, so too by a person. Now the Gemara asks as follows, umayin nafshecha lomar. So if you remember, we brought the brisa to prove that you don't actually knock out an eye and you just pay money, and we brought two sources. One was maka adam, maka behema, and the other was because it says, when don't you take a redemption payment from a murderer, but from a damager you would take a redemption payment. So we said, if you don't like the first one, I'll tell you the second one. So now the Gemara is asking, what does that mean? If you want, you could say a second one. What was the problem? And Rashi said that in case you had a problem with the first, you have the second. So the Gemara wants to know, what problem could you have? So the Gemara says, Suka kasha l'taina, because the Tana who was saying this brisa had perhaps another question, that my chazes the yalfus mi maka behema, because we were saying you learn from maka behema to maka adam, leilef mi maka adam. We should learn from maka adam, which is the pasuk of umaka adam yumas, which is pasuk chafalef. So we, and now remember, we said that's talking about a person who hits his father and actually gets put to death. So you might thought, why should you learn from a behema, learn from maka adam, and just like a person in that pasuk is actually put to death, so too, you should actually knock out someone's limb. So the Gemara says, Amri, that's not a good question. Why would you tell me that that's enough of a reason to bring a second shot? Amri, done in nizakin mi nizakin, ain't done in nizakin mi misos. That's silly. That's a silly question. Why would you think to learn from a case of damages, from a case of death, where you actually put the guy to death, if you have a choice of learning damages from damages, because a behemoth is damages and a person is damages? So the Gemara says, don't be so quick to put away my question. Adarabba, you're wrong. Done in Adam e Adam, and done in Adam e behemoth. Because if not for the fact that I know the second pshat, I might have had a first problem with the pshat, because I would say, why do you compare it to behemoth, compare it to an Adam? And why is that better? What about the fact that it's one is misa and one is damages? The Gemara is going to say, better that we should compare a person to a person, even if one is murder and one is damage, than compare a person to an animal. So therefore, that's why we needed the second. And the Gemara says, "Hani tektani." That's this that we learned in the Brisa. In Nafshecha Lomer, if you want, you can also say, "Hareyu Omer." Behold, it says, "Lo sichu kofar lenefesh rotzeach asher hu rasha lomus kimos yumas." That's the pasuk, and we learn from there, "Lenefesh rotzeach yata lekeach kofar avalata lekeach kofar l'rasha evarim shein lechozern." That you don't take kofar for a murderer who actually has to get killed, but you do take kofar for someone who knocked out a limb. Okay, so now that's why we needed the second one. Now the Gemara asked, "V'hai lo sichu kofar lenefesh rotzeach lemiyute rasha evarim hu dasa." How can you really say that when it says you should not take kofar for a nefesh rotzeach, that for murder you don't take kofar, but you do take kofar for rasha evarim? But I need that pasuk for something else. Haimi boile, I need that to amar rachmana, because the pasuk is saying lo savid beit tarti. Don't do two things to him. Lo sishkum inay mamon v'siktale. Don't take money and kill him. So that's why it's saying don't take kofar from the guy who killed someone. Why? Because, so in other words, we were understanding that from him you don't take kofar, but you do take kofar from someone who damages. He's saying, no, I need that to tell me, don't take kofar from the guy who killed someone, because you're going to kill him, so don't also take kofar from him. This is the kamalei b'drava mineh. So the Gemara says, no, I could still learn out my limud, because hai mikdei rishaso nafko. Because we learn out that idea of you don't kill him and take his money, from the pasuk that says kidei reshaso, which is the pasuk in Devarim. It says vayam bin hakos harasha v'pilu ashofet v'ikol lefun of kidei reshaso, that you do it kidei reshaso in accordance with his rishus, with his evil risha achas atam mechayv v'yatam mechayv shnei reshos. You don't you cause him one dose of this punishment and not two. So therefore, the pasuk is still extra. The pasuk that says "Al sichu kofar lenefesh rotzeach" is there to tell me don't take the kofar from you. Do take the kofar. I'm sorry. You don't take a kofar from a murderer, but you do take a kofar from a damager. The Gemara says "Akati mi boilei," but I still need that pasuk. What do I need it for? I need it for its basic meaning. The Kamar Rachmana, because the pasuk is telling you "Lo sishko mamon v'siftere." Maybe the pasuk is just there to say from a murderer, if he's chayav misa, don't let him buy his way out. Don't let him give kofar. And that's what the pasuk is telling me. So it's not coming to teach me anything about a damager. We needed to say that when someone is chayav misa, he can't buy his way out. So the Gemara says, "Im kein lifter rachmana." If so, let the pasuk just write, "Lo sichu kofar lasher hu rasha lomos l'nefesh rotzeach," that you should not take kofar from that who is a rasha to die. I'm sorry. He said, "Lo sichu kofar lasher hu rasha lomos." And lenefesh rotzeach lamali. Why do we have the words lenefesh rotzeach thrown in there? Those are superfluous words. Shema mina lenefesh rotzeach yatalokeach kofar. It's coming to teach you that to the life, that the person who killed a life, you don't take kofar, you don't take redemption. Avata lokeach kofar l'rashi evarim sheinu chozrim. But you do take it for these limbs that don't regenerate. Okay, so now we have established that pasuk is actually available. So we need the pasuk generally to say you don't let him buy his way out. But those extra words, l'nefesh rotzeach, tell us that it's for the guy who killed someone that you don't take kofar, but you do take kofar from someone who damaged. Now the Gemara says, v'chimeachar t'ksiv lo sichu kofar makeh makeh lamali. So if you remember the structure, the Braisa said, how do we know you don't knock out an eye for an eye? Two reasons, because it says maka ada maka behema, and then it says l'sichu kofar, because in case you didn't like the first limud, because you would say maybe I should compare it man to a man instead of man to a behema. So the Gemara says, so then I'll tell you the second one. So the Gemara says, well, once I know the second one, why do I need the first one? Why do I need maka maka? So the Gemara says, amri imei hai hava mina iboi eno nesev iboi demei eno nesev. Because if you are just learning it from that, the lenefesh rotzeach, that you don't take kofar from him, but you do take kofar from someone who did damage, I might think that you have an option: either knock out the eye or take money. The Rishonim differ about whether it's the person who's injured that you're thinking he could say whether you want the guy's eye knocked out or his money, or the person who was the injurer, that maybe he doesn't value his eye so much and he'd rather lose his eye than lose his money. So in any event, you might think that kamash malan mi behema, that therefore we learn from behema, from the first liman, ma maka behema l'tashlum and af maka adam l'tashlum, that just like you hit a behema is for money, so too you hit an adam. Very quickly, we're going to finish up here. Tanya Reb Distoy ben Yehuda Amar, Reb Yehuda says as follows, ayin tachas ayin, Maman ata omer. That when it says an eye for an eye, it means money. Now the Gemara says, Maman o eno ela ayin mamish. So how do you know? Maybe it means literally an eye. So he says as follows, Amrit, Haresha haisa eno shel ze gedolo ve eno shel ze kedana, heyach ani kore be ayin tachas ayin. So he says, because I have a problem. Of course, ayin tachas ayin means money, because let's say one guy had a big eye, or one guy had a small eye, and so if a guy with a small eye knocked out the eye of a guy with a big eye, so you're anyway not doing a parallel punishment, so therefore you only pay money. V'chitema, the Gemara says, kol ki hai shakil mine mamono. So maybe you'll tell me that you're right. When people have equal-sized eyes, then you knock out an eye for an eye. But otherwise, if they don't have equal-sized eyes, then you pay money. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't work like that. Atara amar mishpat echad yelachem, mishpat ashava lekulchem. The pasuk says over here at the end that you have the same punishment, mishpat echad yelachem. You have one single punishment, so you can't have some people get their eye out, knocked out, and some people pay money. So So the Gemara says, I don't like that raya. My kushya, what kind of question is this that one guy is a small eye, one guy is a big eye? Dilma nahara shakumine, nahara amrachman nishkumine. He took away his vision, so therefore you take away his vision. Who cares how big the eye is? Dilo temahachi, because let's say you don't agree with me that it's just eyesight, and therefore you're taking away his eyesight. Let's say you have katan shaharik as a god, of a god shaharik as a god. Let's say you had a big guy killed a small guy, or a small guy killed a big guy. Hechi katlinan le, how are you going to kill him? Because you can't do nefesh tachas nefesh, because one guy was big, one guy was small. And if you'll tell me that maybe only we, if they're the same size, then we kill them, but otherwise we pay money, that doesn't work either. Hatara amri mishpat echad yelachem mishpat hashav lekuchem, then you have to have the same thing. Ella, so how are you going to understand, how do you kill someone nefesh tachas nefesh? Because neshama shakumine, neshama amrachmana nishkumine. Because you're going to say that since you took away his life, you get your life taken away. It doesn't matter whether you're big or small. Hachinami, therefore also, nahara shakumine, nahara amrachmana nishkumine. That you took away his vision, so you get your vision taken out. And it doesn't matter whether you have a big eye or a small eye, so they didn't like the raya brought by Rav Distai ben Yehuda. Go ahead.